to the Jeff Morris Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, get in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program, Joey Clark in about an hour from News Talk 93.1, News and Views in Montgomery. And then we do have a slight adjustment to the lineup. Stephanie Holden-Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will make time for us in the 11 o'clock hour. She's got an interesting graphic up on her social media, our Alabama Policy social media, the Innovate Alabama, and just a government slush fund. They break it down county by county. And you're not going to believe this, guys. By far and away, the money's being put into Jefferson County, Birmingham, and just a fraction of it in Baldwin and Mobile County. In fact, we could probably break it down by population. It would be very underwhelming. But we'll get to that discussion in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now on the line, he's running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman Jerry Carl is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. I'm sitting on the side of the road in Off, Alabama. I'm proud to report there's no snakes that I can see. You know, they're famous for their rattlesnake rodeo.
Rattlesnake rodeo this spring. I made it there once. It had to be about 7 years ago, I think. And there's, like, the cool thing about it, Congressman, was it's like one of the last concerts that Charlie Daniels did before he died.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was promised I could get in the pit with the snakes this year, so I'm going to do that and see how many of them I could bite, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like getting in a shark pool if you're an attorney.
It does sound like you need to sign a few waivers probably with that.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure that'll take place.
Let's kick it off here. How's the campaign going?
Campaign's going fantastic. We are really picking up a lot of people, a lot of support. We're getting a lot of people volunteering. We are obviously in a lot of places. I encourage everyone to watch us on social media or go to jerrycarl.com. Comment on our social media. Watch us. We're trying to hit as many events as we possibly can. In fact, today we're in Enterprise and Dothan, and then tomorrow we're back in Mobile. So we're all over the place. We'll start settling down right after Christmas. You know how this goes, Jeff. So we'll start focusing, you know, heavily on areas that we think we need to focus on. Right now, we're celebrating our Farm Federation endorsement. That is absolutely huge. For those folks that don't know, each county votes their own way. And we got 8 out of 9 counties that supported us. And we're excited about Farm Federation recognizes, you know, how well we've worked with them over the past 12 years, in fact.
We seem to have one thing about OP, I guess, is the cell coverage there. We lost about that last little bit there, Congressman.
Okay. Well, I was just talking about the Farm Federation and how excited it is to have their endorsement. We picked up their endorsement. We got each county votes. We got 8 out of the 9 counties. We're excited about that.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal, that Alpha endorsement. And, you know, they gave out their endorsements, and we've been kind of rolling some of these statewide candidates on. But, you know, getting the Alpha endorsement, talk about that and having, to, you know, especially in a district as the current first congressional district's constituted, how big of a deal that is.
Well, you know, people think about the Alpha endorsement. It's the Farm Federation. It's each county votes for who they want to vote for. They send 2 votes to the table. Obviously, with us, there were 18 votes. We got 16 out of 18 votes. We did get. I mean, that just speaks volumes. And that's the farmers themselves doing the voting. That's not Alpha. Alpha collects the votes. You know, gets them organized, and then Alpha passes it on to the Farm Federation. But the Farm Federation helps. They, you know, that is a very, very tight-knit community, the the farm group as a whole. And you think about the wiregrass, you think about Farm Federation will send out their suggested list at some point, place, and time, and our name will be on the top of the list. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. You can't buy that kind of advertising.
No, it's a big deal in any race in Alabama. And then they have a pretty good winning percentage there. So you got to feel good about where you're at, I guess, with the based on those guys' track record. How's everything else going? I mean, this once again, this isn't your first time doing this district. You know, what's any significant changes? I know it's very early, but what's the political climate like out there?
You know, Jeff, I say this out of sheer honesty. I've never had a campaign this positive. Yes, it's got its ups and its downs. Every campaign has that. But this campaign has been so positive. We've been so well received over in the wiregrass. You know, our last campaign, we were head-to-head. There wasn't a bit of difference between the two candidates. Obviously, I lost. Barry won. But this time, the same people that I made my pitch to are much more open. Folks in Mobile, Baldwin County are even more excited, you know, because a lot of them didn't get out and vote. You know, and what I'm getting right now is people saying, well, we're going to make sure we vote this time. So, you know, that's good. But the air about it is totally different. I'm excited. I'm energized. You know, I've lost about 30 pounds. And some people don't even recognize me. Don't ask me how I did it. I don't know. I guess just working in the yard so much. But it's a totally different environment politically than what I've had in the past. And I've run a lot of campaigns, been involved in a lot of campaigns. But this was very, very positive.
Well, and I tell you, though, it's interesting you say that, but that D.C. lifestyle – not great for your health, is it, there, Congressman? And no, maybe that's part of it.
It looks glamorous. But, you know, you eat when you can eat. And when you normally eat there, it's finger food. And I'm just not a finger food type of person. I like to sit down to a meal. I don't eat three times a day. I'm not but when I do eat, I want good food. And being back home, you know, my wife being there and cooking and eating the right meals, drinking a lot more water. You know, up D.C., it's a Diet Coke everywhere you go. That's kind of the hip thing to do. But D.C.'s horrible on your health. I hope when I get back up there, I've learned from coming home over the last 9 months what not to do.
Yeah, you know, that's part of the process. Well, aside from the positive, I mean, are the issues roughly the same? I guess it's probably a little different when you're running and it's not a presidential cycle, I guess.
Well, it's not, but you know, this race, especially for me, is about experience. You know, I've got 40 years in the private sector owning my own businesses. I've got 8 years in local government. I understand infrastructure issues. I understand budgets dealing with cities and counties. I understand the sheriff's department and the finance of law enforcement. So this one is going to be more about experience. You know, who's got the most experience at running those type of things? And, of course, I've got 4 years in Congress. You know, I've got appropriations, obviously, and natural resources. Speaker Johnson, when I do get elected, I'll go back on both of those committees, natural resources and appropriation, which is huge for our district. Now, should one of my opponents win and they go on it, it'll be a grab bag. You know, whatever they have, they want to put them on, that's what they'll put them on. But it's important for our district to have someone that's already ready and trained to go into action in D.C.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what's going on in D.C. right now. And, you know, you've seen these shutdowns from time to time. I tell you what's really remarkable. I was talking about this earlier in the program, how well Speaker Johnson, he's fine, and I think he's doing about as good a job as he could do, but we probably would be in a different place with Kevin McCarthy in charge right now. But that being said, I think he and Leader Thune are really, really keeping the caucuses together, the respective chambers together, and you don't see a lot of defections like you might have seen in that first Trump term.
And I agree. And I think Trump is playing a huge role in that, too. He's staying very close to Thune and Johnson. And I mean, they have to. The three of those make up the team. But, you know, what the Democrats are asking for right now and to shut it down over Obamacare insurance for illegal aliens, I think is absolutely ridiculous. I personally have not missed a thing with them being shut down for 2+ weeks. I did talk to a couple of our guys here in the delegation this week. They're wanting to get back to work, and they're pushing Johnson to want to get back to work. And they can be up there working a little bit and get some things accomplished. But there's just so many moving parts that they want to, you know, we're trying to negotiate this, I'm going to call it a settlement, that it's best for them not to be there, stay out of the way. But the Democrats are going to lose this one. They've already lost it with the people, what the people are concerned. You know, they definitely won't. We may see something next week or maybe a week longer, but I think everybody's ready to get back to work and get stuff done.
Yeah, I agree with that. The momentum is still with Republicans. The defections are on the Democrat side. And, I mean, they're playing a base game, and the Republicans seem to be playing more of a, you know, we're just talking straight up politics here, and, you know, aside from the hardship. But the Republicans are playing a broader strategy.
Thank goodness. So all I can say is thank goodness. I mean, the whole time I was up there, we were trying to outthink the Democrats. The Democrats were, you know, they're very, very creative. I'll tell you that. Of course, Biden was in office. It was us working against Schumer. Mitch McConnell wasn't a whole lot of help to us. But, you got to think where they're moving and the people they're trying to talk to. And health insurance, everybody gets petrified when they hear health insurance. Any changes, we all do. So that they think that's a soft spot, but where they missed it, I think, is so much of that insurance going to cover these illegal immigrants that are in this country, and we want them out. We want them out. We want to figure out a way we can maybe work with bringing some back in a legal stance, in a legal way. I think our immigration system itself is outdated and broke down, but for right now, we need them out.
Well, today, I guess the Supreme Court's hearing redistricting arguments. Any insight into that? I know you're following it closely, but what's your take? How do you feel about things as they stand today?
Everyone that has knowledge of that, and I've talked to several judges themselves, they feel like it's going to come back in the Louisiana verdict will hold, which was very simply, you cannot use race to determine a minority. And if that's the case, Jeff, you will see this entire country go into a tailspin because everybody has got to go back and redraw their lines. It was never intended to be based on a race. And when you start talking about, minority, I would say the Alaska Eskimo population is the smallest population in Mobile. And yes, we do have some. I think it's like 0.5% or 0.25%. You know, if you want to talk about minorities, let's talk about them. They're not, it's not based on the color of your skin. So we've got to refocus. We think it's going to get changed. We truly do. But we've got to go through this process. We think we will get a verdict. They're asking for verbals today to argue the case verbally. We think we'll get early spring. We'll get the verdict from the Supreme Court. They'll tell us what it is, and then it's off to the races. You know, the state's got to change the districts, so that will apply to the 2028 elections, not the 2026, and that's what we're running for now, but it'll apply to the 2028 elections.
Yeah, and, you know, Watching the Louisiana case, I mean, you know, the way they had to draw those lines to get that second a minority-majority district, that is really what's at stake here, that if they impose this rule, then, I mean, you're going to have a lot of maps. I guess it's this, just you do it nationally, or is it just going to continue to be a you know, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 thing where certain states it applies to?
Well, I hope not. You know, I hope it applies to every state. Then we start looking at California and New York and how they've gerrymandered stuff so badly. I mean, California has so many representatives in Washington. I mean, and, of course, Texas does, too. And New York does. Of course, it's based on population, but to have to redraw those lines, or looking to redraw those lines, I think we, the Republican Party, can pick up quite a few seats, especially in California.
Well, and I think certainly in Alabama if it holds. But, hey, Congressman, we got to get out of here. Floor, let you go. Folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff. Go to jerrycarl.com. Please look us up on Facebook, on all your social media sites. Link into us and like what we post, because we're working for your votes.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, once again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.